युञ्जन् एवं सदात्मानं योगी विगातकल्मषः सुखेन भ्रमसंस्पर्शम् अत्यन्तं सुखमाश्नुते. Thus, the self-controlled yogi, constantly engaged in yoga practice, becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfect happiness in transcendental loving service to the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Self-realization means knowing one's constitutional position in relationship to the Supreme. The individual soul is part and parcel of the Supreme, and his position is to render transcendental service to the Lord. This transcendental contact with the Supreme is called Brahma Samsparsha. Translation: thus the self-controlled yogi, constantly engaged in yoga practice, becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfect happiness in transcendental loving service of the Lord. We are reading this evening from the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We would like to welcome all of our very special guests for coming to dedicate your precious time within this valuable and rare human birth to come to hear the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita, the highest truths which open the doors to the highest perfections of human life. In this chapter, Krishna has explained the necessity of controlling one's mind in order to achieve perfect happiness within this very life. Everyone is seeking happiness. That is the very basic principle that is common in all species of life. We are all seeking happiness. We are all trying to avoid somehow or other unhappiness. And factually, our whole civilization, all of our social structures, are all based on this simple principle of seeking happiness and avoiding unhappiness. But the soul is seeking perfect happiness because the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is all perfect, and therefore the soul, in its constitutional relationship with Krishna, is also all perfect. So how is it that our lives are condemned by so many imperfections? The Bhagavad Gita explains it is all due to the uncontrolled condition of our mind. The mind, when it forgets its relationship with the Supreme and identifies itself with its relationship with this temporal world, the body, the senses, then the mind strives to find happiness in a place of death. Therefore, perfect happiness comes through becoming free from material contaminations. And the basic root of all material contaminations is the forgetfulness of our true essence, that we are eternal. We are part of God. We are of the same spiritual substance as God, Krishna. And our natural occupation, Sanatan Dharma, is to serve God in transcendental love. And when we learn to practically apply that principle to our life, gradually we become free from material contaminations and can achieve perfect happiness. Human life is meant for purification. Human life is meant to cleanse the heart of all the misgivings within, to become detached from anything that is directed toward illusion or ignorance, and to become completely attached to the truth and those activities in pursuance of truth. But unfortunately today, we are creating an entire empire around our lives in pursuance of so-called happiness based on illusion. But there is no real happiness in such a condition of life. The wealthiest, most powerful, and greatest persons throughout history, when they would candidly or privately reveal their hearts, they would admit that they were miserable. They would be willing to give up everything they had for some peace of mind. They say like that, but they're so attached that they cannot give it up. And this is the condition. We create a family, which is the basic core of civilization, is the family. When the family is all centered around the transcendental loving service of the Lord, then we can say it is a family based on the principle of truth. And there can be real happiness in that family situation. Because through their activities together in Krishna consciousness, by living purely, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, by regularly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By reading together, by offering their home to the deity together, by doing seva to Guru and to the Vaishnavas together, through such a family life, everyone becomes transcendentally purified of all material contamination. Gradually, transcendental love of God is awakened in our hearts, and we achieve real happiness. But today, families, it's all based on material conceptions of caste and material conceptions of what complexion we have, what color is our bodies, and what our bodies feel like, and what kind of food we're eating, and what kind of place we're living, and what kind of job we have, and how much money we have, and what everyone thinks of us, and what is our distinction, and what is our reputation, and you're simply in anxiety with all the complexities and the miseries of life. And in this way, people are endlessly spending their whole life complicating and implicating themselves in the karmic laws, and they waste the valuable opportunity for self-realization. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching the highest truths. And if we understand it carefully, we can experience the real meaning of perfect happiness as it is explained here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he described that the Sankirtan movement of the congregational chanting of the holy name, it brings about the direct experience of that happiness we are all seeking. Anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam punamrataswadanam. Why? Because the name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. It is all powerful. And it has the capacity to clean our hearts, to clean our minds of all illusions, of all attachments to illusions. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna awakens within us our natural attachment to Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. And therefore, this congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prime benediction for all humanity. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited all of us. Wake up! Wake up! You are sleeping on the lap of the witch of Maya. Take the holy name of the Lord and be happy.
Krishna! 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 Hare Hare!
Srila Prabhupada as his most empowered and devoted representative had the simple message, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You want happiness, here is the process. Purify your heart, chant the holy names, live in the association of devotees, and experience eternal happiness. And give that happiness to others. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions were very simple. Worship Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, and give this message of Krishna consciousness to others. It's so simple. It's so wonderful. We have all come together tonight to celebrate the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by very loudly chanting his holy name.
Krishna! Hare Krishna! 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 Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!
This evening we have two very special associates of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Matsyavatar Prabhu and Sri Kalakanta Prabhu, who are both very exemplary models of grihasthas, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness in the householder life. Matsyavatar Prabhu was very, very worldwide famous in his field of occupation. Those in interior design, everyone knew his name. He was in the top of the list of prestige, and he was making so much money, that he didn't know what to do with it all. So he decided to go to India and go to the Himalayas and figure out what to do with his life. Correct? Very humble. Anyways, he came back, he's from Italy, he came back to Italy after meeting His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who gave him the instruction to simply, you are a family man, you are going to be married, you are very successful, utilize all your talents for Krishna's service. Read Bhagavad Gita and chant Krishna's holy names. And since that time, his home has been a temple. He lives hour away from the nearest Hare Krishna temple. And in his home, he has beautiful deities, his mother, his father, all of his children, all of his friends. They all come to worship the deities in the home, to chant, to distribute books, to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. It's a perfect example, and they're happy. In his home, he gives classes. Every morning, people from the neighborhood, from colleges, come to his home for Mangalarti, for Srimad Bhagavatam class that he gives. And his whole family is simply working so hard, assisting him in giving Krishna to others, in sharing Krishna together, and they are so happy. Their kitchen is always the busiest place you've ever seen, preparing prasad for anyone who comes. And they're simply happy. Because they have Krishna. Money will not make you happy. Prestige will not make you happy. Even good health will not make you happy. Only Krishna will make you happy. And Krishna is given to us when we chant his name and give his name to others and live as his humble servant. Matsyavatar Prabhu ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
And we have Kalakanta Prabhu, who is also a very, very special guest, a very loving associate of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who is also a very wonderful exemplary grihasta. Has wife and children, they live in Florida, and he is helping with various projects of the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the whole world, so dedicated, and by his example, we can see that there is no impediment to making spiritual progress. Srila Prabhupada once told us that his grihastha disciples are doing more than so many sannyasis and so-called sadhus of this world. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita explains real sannyas, real renunciation, doesn't mean the color of your cloth or your hairstyle. It means complete dedication to Krishna. Arjuna was a grihastha. And he is the model example of how to receive Bhagavad Gita and practice those teachings. And we have living examples right before us today. If brahmacharis and sannyasis perfectly live according to their ashram standards, if grihasthas perfectly live according to their ashram standards, like Kalakanta Prabhu or Matsyavatar Prabhu, they are all making spiritual progress together, hand in hand united in the service of the Lord, to induce the whole world to chant the holy name.
Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare.
I'd like to ask both of our honored guests to speak for a few minutes to enlighten us. I especially would like, if you kindly would, to speak about your experiences or realizations of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. First we'll ask Max. Matsyavatar was the first incarnation of Krishna. So you are first.
Fortunately, I am the servant of that incarnation.
Fortunate for us.
Before our meeting, Srila Prabhupada, I have read some Vedic literatures. I was attracted to the immortality of the soul. And even reincarnation, although it was an exotic concept for our culture, I thought it was the most scientific concept I ever heard. But till I met Srila Prabhupada, I had no clear idea how deep and well structured this culture was. By meeting Srila Prabhupada, besides first impression to have met a holy man, a very powerful bhakta of the Lord, very powerful spiritual master, pure sadhu. But beside all these remarkable impressions, I felt that he was giving me a very important teaching, and that teaching was how to live, how to work, how to think, how to talk, how to eat day after day. So in the Western countries, philosophers are very much deep in thinking and thinking, in conceptualizing a lot of philosophical categories. But in their lives, they don't apply those principles. So that philosophical exercises are just theoretical. By meeting Srila Prabhupada, I could immediately perceive that between the philosophical understanding and the practical of the life, practical life, there was any difference. No difference. So for me it was the first time I was facing a situation, a philosophical situation, in which the basic philosophical principles were to be activated in practical life day by day. The principles of Yajna in Bhagavad Gita, or the principle of purity, the principle of spiritual understanding, should be substantiated in the practical life. So we have to choose our food. We have to choose the category of, and the quality of the words by which to speak. We have to choose how to deal with people. So, and making the philosophical principles, the acts in our everyday life, is the perfection. So that was my first realization by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. First by meeting His Divine Grace. Meeting His Divine Grace was a very great amount of spiritual emotion. I was really deeply impressed by His personality. And although I never had offered my prostrate obeisance to anyone, I felt very spontaneous to offer my dandavat to Him. Actually, it was the third time I came to India. In the first time, I visited all the ashrams in South India, many sadhu ashrams. Second time, I visited many holy places in Central and North India. And that time was the time when I met His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and I was so deeply impressed. I thought this is my life opportunity to give it a real change to my life. And if it is true, if I am honest, if it is true that I just came to India in order to purify my life and to understand the goal of my life, if I don't take this very special occasion, I am just a rascal. If I don't take immediately this occasion, I think I hardly will get another one. My realization was that He was the real man, He was the real master, He was the real guru. But those impressions, although they were so strong and so deeply affecting me, I remember very well that those impressions became substantiated, well rooted in my heart by reading His powerful book, Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Bhagavad Gita has been spoken by the Supreme Person of Godhead. Srila Vyasadeva is the supreme writer. Actually, is a small part of the Bhishma Parva, but by the commentary of His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the full purpose of the Bhagavad Gita can be revealed. So I went back to my home. I was very busy at the time. I immediately changed my life. I arranged in such a way to eat just Krishna's prasad by reading Bhagavad Gita. I understood more and more how to deal with people, how to control senses, and the closer Hare Krishna center. I didn't know there was one in Italy, but I came to know that this center was something like 300 miles away, 4 hour drivings away. So the first steps in Bhagavad Gita was reading Prabhupada's books, especially Bhagavad Gita, especially because Srila Prabhupada asked me, please study Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna, become a devotee, speak about Bhagavad Gita to others, and you and Krishna will take care of you. So my wife became devotee. My mother and my father, they both became devotee. Then came some children. They became devotee. Some friends became devotee. And day after day, months after months, I was studying, deeply studying Bhagavad Gita. I changed all my schedule time, my daily schedule. I had a lot of employers at that time, partners, companies, and I changed my life. I drove my life in such a way to be almost free 3-4 p.m. So I spent all the rest of the day till night studying Bhagavad Gita, translating it in Italian, doing some research work in the Bhagavad Gita. And in a few months I got initiated by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Myself and my wife, both we got initiated by His Divine Grace. And at that time we had already set up a small community of Italian Vaishnavas. They were chanting Hare Krishna as we are doing. They were cooking their food offering to the deities. They were going out preaching Krishna consciousness. Then we got some Bhagavad Gita from the Hare Krishna temple. We distributed those books, and then we got in touch with devotees, more and more and more organized some nice program together. The first traveling temple on the wheels in Italy has been organized between 76 and 77. We transformed a very big track in a traveling temple with deities, and a sannyasi friend of mine, Soma Kamaraj, made a lot of devotees. And so we started like that. 1 year, exactly 1 year after my meeting with Srila Prabhupada, every day I was thinking I must go back to Srila Prabhupada and telling him that everything worked out exactly as he said, exactly as he told me. So I was feeling so deep gratitude towards Srila Prabhupada. But I was organized in such a way that I couldn't just go back again. And it happened just 1 year later. The time I went back just to offer my humble, respectful obeisances to His daughter's feet, because I felt that He actually saved my whole family. But not only my family, many of my friends, many people since that time got in Vaishnava consciousness, in Krishna consciousness, and I felt so deeply in debt to Srila Prabhupada, to his wonderful disciples, that my first need was going back to Vrindavan, meet again Srila Prabhupada, and thank him very, very, very much. So I did.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once said, or rather he was once asked by a disciple, Prabhupada, how is it that we've been able to give up everything for Krishna? Prabhupada said, what do you have to give up? I'm a disciple like that. Not like Matsya Avatar Prabhu. He had all the opulences. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he accepted me as his disciple in 1973. Maharaj has asked me to describe his mercy. To me, Srila Prabhupada's mercy is manifested in so many ways. First of all, Prabhupada built a house in which the whole world could live. So today I can be here with you. I've never met anyone here before except Mahaprabhu, a few others. But I feel very much one with all of you in the Vaishnav sense of the word. Very much at home in your hospitality and your love and affection, which I'm also sharing for you. So that's certainly Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's mercy includes his representatives. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, for so many years, has been inspiring me and so many others in Krishna consciousness. These are Prabhupada's Prabhupada's Shaktis, his spokesmen, his Senapatis, great generals, leading Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Haribo! Srila Prabhupada's mercy is that everyone today, whether we have his personal darshan or not, can get the same transcendental realization. And that is eternally available for all time for everyone who follows his instructions. His mercy is that he makes those instructions so perfectly clear that every man, woman, and child everywhere can capture the essence of Krishna's teachings through his clear and perfect explanation. So we have his mercy in the form of his books, his lectures, his representatives, the holy name which he has kindly delivered. Nobody is exempted in spite of any external qualification or disqualification. Prabhupada's mercy is so great in all these ways. So tonight, if you will indulge me, I'd like to take 1 minute and recite a little poem I wrote to Srila Prabhupada as a Vyas Puja offering. I want to express it for two reasons. One is so I won't have to think of anything new to say. And secondly, because in the shortest amount of words that I could assemble, it describes my relationship with Prabhupada and my appreciation of what he has done for all of us. This is called All That Lies Between. You could have stayed in Vrindavan, where chanting is most sweet, or gone to holy Navadvip in spiritual retreat. Your godbrothers had temples there with room enough for you to sit and preach each Gaur Purnim to a visitor or two. You could have said, it's Krishna's will, my visa was denied, and though I failed, at least I know for now that I have tried. your patron said, you'll die abroad, your godbrothers just scoffed. You could have said, who'll greet the boat and guide me safely off? You could have had one look at us and said, what have I done? And caught the next boat back to home, unblamed by anyone. The Westerners, you could have said, can go to hell and stay. Who would have disagreed with you? We were well on our way. Instead, you laid your final years like flowers at Krishna's feet. Your guru's smile, your hidden guide, Thakur's vision in reach. Translating 80 volumes as you guided us along, you taught us how to cook prasad and preach Lord Krishna's song. And as we preach, the boys and girls from every land on earth come forth to serve you, Prabhupada, engaged in second birth. I could have been a doctor if I had stayed in school. Might have made $1 million, built a fancy house and pool. I could have been a lawyer, legislated laws and rules. I could have been a music star. I could have just been cool. Instead, I laid my youthful years like flowers at your feet. Malpuras caused my interest, samosas my defeat. My dad said, son, you're brainwashed. My friend said, you're a fool. My shortfalls as a Vaishnav numbered many, victories few. Reflecting on my bygone youth, as one my age is prone, I wouldn't trade your words for gold, your books for precious stones. This morning on the Japa Trail, the northern star shone down, so firm and true it seemed like you, with devas circling round. But dawn concealed that starry stage and lit a wintry scene of all you are and all I am and all that lies between. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Kalakanta Prabhu ki. Please, very loudly, let us welcome him by saying Hari Bol. Matsyavatar Prabhu, let us welcome him. We are so grateful to both of you. On behalf of all the Vaishnavas, I would like to offer our deepest gratitude for your coming so long distance just to give us your precious association.
Isolines Radhanath Swami ki.
Jai.
As Srila Prabhupada's representatives, their great happiness is to see all of you chant Hare Krishna and be happy.